We too have the power of forgiveness. And this Sunday we're going to continue a sermon series we began last Sunday called Release. And the subtitle is Finding Freedom Through Forgiveness, or Finding Freedom in Forgiveness. And the main thrust of the entire series is mostly about our need and about God's command to forgive other people. People who have hurt us, people who have wronged us, people who have angered us. And so that's the thrust of it, but that's difficult, right? We all know how difficult that is. There's probably not a single person in this room who hasn't struggled at some point or another trying to forgive someone else. And it may be the case that it's not really a past struggle. It might be a present struggle for you. You might be sitting here thinking, Michael, that's not something I've struggled with in the past. That is a current reality for me, and I'm struggling right now to forgive somebody who has damaged me and hurt me. And it could be something from years and years ago. It could be decades ago. Or it could be something that happened really recently, and you're just still struggling to let it go, struggling to break the chains that has on you, the ways that it shackled you and prevented you from experiencing true freedom. And that is the reality, that without forgiveness, those grudges, those things that we harbor, will absolutely imprison us. Without the ability to practice forgiveness, those things will shackle us and weigh us down. But forgiveness makes possible our breaking free. Forgiveness makes it possible to be released. Now, last week, we began this series not with a discussion of forgiving other people, but rather we began this series by talking about our release or our forgiveness from God. Because we know, we don't have to be told, do we, that we are sinners. We're broken. We constantly fall short of God's best for us. We know that we're sinners. And over time, those sins and those failures and that brokenness weigh us down and cause us to not be as free as God would have us to be. And last week, I had this big old backpack full of weights that was emblematic of us carrying sin, unconfessed sin, and how that over time can absolutely weigh us down. But thankfully, by God's grace, and by the work of Jesus on the cross, we have been given this gift of freedom. We can lay the pack down. We can lay aside every weight. We can confess our sins. And the promise from Scripture that we talked about last week was that if we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God will make it possible for us to lay down the weight. It's a glorious thing to be able to confess and receive release. Amen? Maybe just for me. But the reason we started with God's forgiveness of us is that it really is God's forgiveness of us that makes possible our forgiveness of other people. In fact, last week we started with a quote, and I want to remind you of that quote. It's from a guy named James Forbes, Reverend Jim Forbes, who was the pastor of Riverside Church up in New York City. And here's what he said. He said, the best way to begin to talk about forgiveness is not to tell folks to forgive their enemies. That's too hard a place to start. First, let them think about how much forgiveness God has had to grant to them. Because we have all had to make withdrawals from the bank of grace many, many times. I know that's true for me. I have made lots of withdrawals from God's bank of grace. And so he says, if you really want to talk about forgiving, you have to start there. Start with the enormity of the forgiveness that we've received from God. So with that in mind, we're going to turn to our scripture passage this morning. It comes from Matthew chapter 18. And I'll begin reading with verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I'll repay you everything." And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in his anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me out this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a neighbor and deliver this message. You've got to give as good as you get. Can you do that for me? You've got to give as good as you get. You've got to give as good as you get. So the disciples were all sitting around. They're talking about forgiveness. And finally, Peter decides that he's got to get down to brass tacks. He wants some practical answers from Jesus. So he says to Jesus, "All right, now, Jesus, how many times should I forgive somebody who's hurt me? How many times? I mean, what, like 7 times? Now, understand, Peter was highballing it because he knew that any other rabbi in Jesus' day would say 3 times tops would be the limit for how many times you'd have to forgive somebody who's wronged you. And so when Peter throws out 7, he knows he's more than doubling what anybody else would say. But he's not talking to any other rabbi. He's talking to Jesus. And so he says to Jesus, "How many times should I forgive?" Like 7 times. And Jesus' response was, 7 times? Hardly. Try 70 times 7. Now, if you're out there trying to do the math, let me help you out with that. That's 490 times. 490 times. But I don't think Jesus was being literal in this case. I don't think Jesus had in mind that we'd say, okay, now 402, 403. I don't think Jesus was talking that way. I think what Jesus was saying is forgive until you lose count. I think what he was saying is, all right, look, I'll tell you what, Peter. You just forgive other people as many times as you yourself have been forgiven by God. That's how many times. If you want to know how many times you got to forgive, that's how many times you got to forgive. And I can just imagine Peter saying, "Hold up now, wait a minute, Jesus. I can't count that high." And I can imagine Jesus saying, "Exactly. That's exactly right. Forgive that many times." Now, to hammer home his point, Jesus doesn't stop there. He continues on. He's got this story, and he says the kingdom of heaven is like this. Kingdom of heaven is like a king who decides it's time to settle accounts. And so he calls all the servants in who owe him money. And the first one on the docket is this servant who owes this astronomical, mind-boggling debt. This guy owes 10,000 talents. Now, that sounds like a lot already, but it sounds like even more when you realize that 1 talent equals 15 years worth of salary for the average day laborer in Jesus' day. 1 talent equals 15 years worth of salary. That means that this servant owes 150,000 years worth of salary to his master. Can you imagine? This guy owes a debt that he can never, ever repay. I mean, I don't want to belabor the point here, but I do want to kind of put some figures on this just to get a figure in your mind. I did some research, and the poverty level in the United States, income for a household income of two adults and two children, the poverty level is $23,000 a year. So if you plug that number in, because it, remember, it's the average for a day laborer. So we plug in $23,000 into that formula, and the debt comes up to $3.8 billion that this servant owes. Not million, billion. This servant owes $3.8 billion to his master. Now, even before 2008, there's not a bank anywhere who would make that loan, okay? It's huge. It's a debt that can never, ever be repaid. He couldn't pay that debt off if he tried for, well, 150,000 years. He couldn't pay that debt off. And add that, what kind of reckless, irresponsible person would run up a debt like that? Well, the answer is you. The answer is me. We're the ones who have run up a debt like that. It turns out that in the context of Jesus' parable, we are that servant. We're the servant who has run up a debt we can't possibly pay. A debt so large that we could never, even in 150,000 years, pay this debt that has accumulated. And that debt is our sin. It's a huge debt. It's a debt we can't pay. If we're ever going to pay it off, a mortgage like that, it won't be because we get a second job. It won't be because we get really good at saving. It won't be because we earned it. If we're ever going to pay a debt off like that, it'll be because of the generosity and grace of the loving lender. That's the only way. Well, back to the story. Obviously, this servant gets called in before his king. He does not have $3.8 billion in his pocket. He can't pay this debt. And so the king says, okay, you can't pay. So guards take him, sell his whole family, sell everything he's got, and put that money toward this debt. And at that point, this servant number one, falls down on his face before his king, and he says, oh, be patient with me, and I'll repay you everything. He falls on his face before his master, and he says, be patient, and I'll pay you. And the king says, no, you won't. No, you won't. Even if you wanted to, you couldn't. It's impossible. You couldn't possibly, in 150,000 years, you couldn't repay this debt. But because you pleaded with me, because you asked for patience, I tell you what, the whole thing is going to be wiped clean. You're free to go. You're really free to go. Now, this next set of details is not really contained in the Gospel of Matthew, but because I went to seminary, I have special knowledge about these things. And so this servant, who has just been forgiven $3.8 billion, he is so relieved, he does backflips out of the king's chambers. He's so happy that he feels like a room without a roof. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just ask somebody later on. But this guy is so happy. He's happier than Pharrell Williams. He is happy because this debt has been forgiven, this $3.8 billion of debt he could never, ever in a million years pay off. He has been forgiven. And so he is happy. And as he's doing backflips out of the king's chamber, he bumps into another servant. And his mood changes. Because this servant he bumps into owes him money. And all of a sudden, he gets really serious. This servant owes him money. He owes him $6,300 to be exact. And so he grabs this servant, this other servant, servant number two, he grabs him by the throat and he says, you owe me money, now pay up, cough it up now. And this servant, very similar to servant number one, he falls down on his knees before this other servant. He says, be patient with me and I'll repay you everything. Same posture, same words. Be patient and I'll pay you everything. But unlike the king, servant number one refuses. Nope, you owe me, you pay. And until you pay, you're going to be thrown into jail. Until you pay every last dime. Now remember, this guy's just been forgiven a $3.8 billion debt. And he refuses to let go of this $6,300 debt owed to him. Because this guy wants justice. He wanted mercy for himself. Remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago. We tend to want justice for other people, but mercy for ourselves. You remember us talking about that? We tend to want justice for other people, but we tend to want mercy for ourselves. I think that's true most of the time. We want justice for other people, but mercy for ourselves. Well, this servant had just been forgiven $3.8 billion, and he refuses to let this guy slide for $6,300. Kind of reminds us of that quote we started out with this morning, where James Forbes says, the best way to talk about forgiveness is not to tell folks to forgive their enemies. First, let them think about how much forgiveness God has had to grant to them. Because we have all had to make withdrawals from the bank of grace many, many times. It's true for all of us. But even when we are thinking about how much we have been forgiven, even when that $3.8 billion is in our mind, it's still hard to extend that same forgiveness to other people when they've hurt us, when they've wronged us. It's still hard to give that kind of forgiveness away, isn't it? It is for me. And apparently it was for servant number one, because he orders that servant number two be thrown in jail until he pays every penny. Justice. He wants justice. Well, when the king hears about this, and it doesn't take long for the word to travel back to the king to let him know what's just happened. It's that servant you forgave that he turned around and it doesn't take long for the word to travel back. And that king is ticked off. And he calls servant number one back into his chambers and he rakes him over the coals and he says, you evil servant. He calls him evil. You evil servant, you owed me $3.8 billion and I forgave you that debt because you pleaded with me. And now you're going to tell me you can't even forgive this other servant $6,300? He pleaded with you. Guards, come, take this guy away and torture him until he pays every last cent. And then Jesus says, that's exactly what my Heavenly Father is going to do to each one of you who doesn't forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Ouch. That's tough. Jesus, he's not always warm and fuzzy. I mean, contrary to some depictions, Jesus is not all rainbows and unicorns and pixie dust. Sometimes Jesus gets tough. And this passage is one of those times. Jesus is, he means business. This week, when we were reading this passage together as a staff team, we're sitting around the table and we read it three times. And we start talking about what did you hear? What did this mean? And one of our staff members said, does this mean that if we don't forgive, then we're going to hell? Now, I don't really know how to answer that question. But based on what Jesus says in this passage, when it comes to forgiveness, we best give as good as we get. We have to give as good as we get because no grudge is worth risking our forgiveness from God. No grudge, no person, no matter how manipulative, no matter how deceitful, no matter how despicable, no matter how evil, no person is worth jeopardizing our relationship with God. No person, no grudge is worth riling up this generous king who has forgiven our debt. So who is your servant number two? What name, what face pops into your mind who is the person who owes you big time, who's hurt you? I'm going to give you a minute to pull out your bulletin, and I just want you to write down a name. Whoever your servant number two is, I just want you to jot that down, fold it up, put it in your pocket so you can take it with you so nobody else has to see it. But just take a moment. I'll give you a second to jot down the name of your servant, or maybe the names of your servants, number two. And who's a person that you would just love to grab by the throat and say, "You sorry waste of space, you owe me, now pay up, it's time, cough it up." Who is that person for you? I know who comes to mind for me. And I know that everything in me wants that person to pay. I also know I have no choice but to forgive this person, to give mercy, and to trust God and trust God alone to work out justice. That's not for me, it's for God. And I've got to leave that to Him. Otherwise, I will be doing exactly what servant number one did. That we have to forgive. So how do I do that? How do you do that? How do we forgive as we have been forgiven? Well, we're going to talk more about that next week, but for now, I want to leave you with this thought. Forgiveness is a process. Now, sometimes this process takes a long time. Forgiveness is a process, but it starts with a decision. Forgiveness is a process, but it starts with a decision. Sometimes it's a daily decision. Sometimes it's a decision that for a while you have to wake up every morning and make that decision over and over and over again. And then over time, that decision to forgive starts to take root in you, and it gets a little bit easier to forgive every day after that. So, who is your servant number two? And are you willing to make that daily decision for however long it takes until it starts to take root? With that in mind, I want to issue your challenge for the week. Take that name that you wrote down, you fold it up, you put it in your pocket, whatever you did with it, I want you to take that name. I want to challenge you to pull that name out every day this week and pray for that person. Now, when I say pray, I don't mean pray for them that they get struck by lightning or something like that. I mean really pray, truly pray for that person. Pray that God would bless them. And pray that you would be able, that you would have the strength to let go of the pain of the past so you can be free. It won't be easy. It never is. But when it comes to forgiveness, we have to give as good as we get. And we'll pick up there next week. Amen.